song to start off with, I'm living by faith. You know, I thank God for the blessings that he's blessed us with, and I just ask you, I just ask him every day, dear Lord, just to help me get a little closer to you. And I got to do that by just following him, you know, and just having faith in him. But it's good to be here this morning, and it's good to, great playing. Y'all sounded good this morning. Good singing, too. But I tell you, the service that we had, was probably some of the best singing I've ever heard.
Amen.
What a wonderful time it was. What a wonderful blessing that was. And we need to continue praying for Linda and the family and Nell, and just continue lifting them up in our prayers. But anyhow, it's just good to be here this morning and just to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. Anyone else you want to lift up in prayer this morning?
Jess is sick this morning. I hope she hadn't got the flu that Elizabeth had, but she sounds pretty bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, pray for Jess this morning. Yeah, continue praying. Bless her, Lord. Continue praying for your sister, Brother Royce. And I understand, I think Deb's going to be going back home Tuesday. And we're certainly going to miss you. We're definitely going to miss you. It's been a blessing having you here.
Amen.
But we're definitely going to miss you. And we'll pray for safe travels. And while you're there, we'll continue praying for you. Hope you continue doing well.
Brother Wayne, is Brother Mitchell and him okay, Thomas?
He had to work. He's having to travel to Panama's any different places for work, and he took them.
Yeah, Mitchell's good.
He got a fair report on his Vanderbilt trip he had Tuesday, I think. That spot on his lung that couldn't see. But they were going to do an MRI on his head. He's having no back pain. So he's got an MRI schedule up there.
Brother, we're Neil Jennifer and all. We thank the Lord. So they'll do a report, and he'll have a report with Curry on the same time. And they'll have all the paperwork and what was recorded, the times that Jennifer remembered to wear it when he was supposed to.
Amen. Yeah, when you say Kenneth, remind him to wear that moniker. But we'll continue to lift you up in prayer, Brother Kenneth.
Yes, and Kathy's got one on too. And she's got to work through next week, I think.
Oh, okay.
Bless her,
Lord.
Pray
for Mama and Daddy and
your baby. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's right. He's fixing to mention that. Amen. Well, born like one something this morning, 1:45 this morning. Wow.
She could have held it till after we had a shower.
Yeah.
She might have been delivering the baby, though, if she had all along.
We could have just had the baby delivery and all at one time. We got people here to do that. So anyhow, let's just continue praying for them, lifting them up in their prayers. Anyone else this morning you want to pray for?
Wayne, Dr. Smith's daughter-in-law got some good news with her PET scan, we know that it's not metastasized. But to continue to remember her. And then Dr. Wilson's son-in-law, he's had his last chemo treatment, but he still has a large mass in his belly. And so they think they'll have to do surgery, but it'll be very involved. It'll be a very quick surgery. So please continue to remember him. It's Chase. He's like 35 years old, has a one-year-old baby.
Pray for that, man. And remember me in prayer today, too. I'm doing something that's definitely out of my comfort zone. And I'm going to be leaving right after Sunday school and going to Raglan. I'm going to sing today with the Commodores. And this is way out of my comfort zone, I promise you that. It's way out of my comfort zone. But we're going to have a good time. I told them we're going to have a good time. But y'all pray for me in that singing today.
Yes.
Anyone else? Well, let's let's go in the Lord in prayer, and I want to call on Brother Joy, all the way back there in the back. Brother, if you don't mind, it's good to see you. You lift us up in prayer this morning, please. We can mention. Amen. Well, we will take our Sunday school this time. Our class is staying here since Kelly's got to run the system today.
Some of you guys have got to move. It looks.
It's like a ship.
I know, everybody's sitting on this side.
After preaching,
that's true. That's true. So this is my Sunday school crew over here, huh?
That's right.
What?
It's that warm sunshine coming through.
That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. All right. Can anybody believe that Wednesday's May the 1st? Where is 2024 going? Wow. Good to see everybody that's here this morning. What a beautiful day. Well, we did it. We've made it. Just after today, we'll have made it through Romans. And by the voice of the people, we will be going to the Sermon on the Mount next Sunday. Wasn't even close in the voting. Wasn't even close. So we'll start with chapter 5, which starts out with the Beatitudes. So that's where we'll be next Sunday. And I'm going to get a lot of help teaching these. This is such good stuff. I'm not going to read all of this 16th chapter. There's a lot of big old, long, funny-looking names I'm not going to call. I'm just going to point out a few things. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time on a topic in it. But in the 16th chapter of Romans, Paul commends some people to the Roman church. And the very first person that he commends is a sister. Oh, it's kind of unique. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, I believe it is. History says she's the one that carried the letter to the Roman church. So, I thought that was interesting. But the first person, so I guess that would explain too why he's commending her, because she's got the letter. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. What a high recommendation Paul gives her. Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And one other one I want to cover is verse 2. Greet, and there they are again, Priscilla and Aquila. Those two names just keep popping up in the New Testament, don't they? Do you recall they took Apollos aside and showed him a more perfect way in something. But their names just keep popping up. Just two, just a husband and wife who had the Lord's work in mind, didn't they? Yeah. And he greets them. And in verse 5, he says, greet the church that is in their house. You know, most churches started in somebody's house. Now, a church may have had some that go off and start a different church, but if you go way, way back and try to trace most churches that have been around a long time, they were started in someone's home. Yeah. Okay, I want to skip down to verse 16, where Paul says, for the church at Rome to salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And you know, in that time, that's how people would greet each other. It is with a kiss on the cheek. Not so sure how that would fly today, but I will say this. When I see a brother or sister on the street, and we come up and we shake hands, there's more, a lot more to that than just a handshake. There's a meeting of the spirits and a true love toward each other, a bond. That's the word I'm looking for. There's a bond that me and that person share that goes beyond just that person on the street. It's different. When a visiting brother or sister comes by our church to shake hands, and I love when they have a meeting at the association because it's an opportunity to see everybody.
Amen.
That I don't get to see very often because they're in church and I'm in church. But I can take a few minutes and see people. And to shake their hand and you know, when you shake their hand, you're saying, I love you. I love you. That's really what you're doing, isn't it? Yeah, so.
Human touch is an acceptance, too. When you shake somebody's hand, you're making physical contact in a means of acceptance to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're not going to go shake your biggest enemy's hand as a rule. It's in terms of endearment or acceptance of grief.
All right, let's skip down to verse 19. And we'll come back to 17 and 18 to finish the lesson. But verse 19, talking to that church at Rome, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. There's a lot in this world that I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to know anything about it. Yeah. I'll just stay ignorant of it. Yeah. Don't need to know. Yeah. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Yeah. Because if I hear it, I've got it. Yeah. If I see it. You ever heard that saying? That's a picture I'll never forget. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't unremember that.
No, can't unremember it. Then he says in verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I think he's talking about the rapture. I think he's talking about the end of time. And here, 2,000 years ago, he called it shortly. Yeah, shortly. You know, Satan's already, if it was a courtroom, he's already been convicted, just waiting his sentence.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That's really what it boils down to. Yeah, just waiting on his sentence. Interesting thing in verse 22, Tertius, we're going to go with that, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Now, boy, we could take that one out of context, couldn't we? Where was Paul when he wrote this letter? He was at church in Corinth. Yeah. And best way I could put it is this was Paul's scribe. Yeah. He wrote down what Paul dictated. Yeah. We know Paul had some physical problems. But I think this was his typist, for lack of a better word, who actually physically wrote the letter. Yeah. But I believe he was a Christian. He saluted him in the Lord too. He wanted to get in just a little bit. Or Paul told him, you be sure and put this. Yeah. That you actually wrote this. And then starting at verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. What mystery? All through the Old Testament, the mystery was the church, salvation, the gospel. Yeah. What we enjoy was considered the mystery then. They could only see it way out yonder. Yeah. Yeah. Mystery. Christ, the gospel, the church, it all intertwines together. Yeah. Yeah. But now is made manifest. It's appeared. It's here. Yeah. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of our everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, anyone on those verses? Okay. What I want to spend the rest of the lesson on is verse 17 and 18 because it's so important for us today. One of the last things that Paul does for the Church of Rome in this letter is warn them about false doctrines. He wanted them to remember that. He said, now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, listen to me. Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Amen.
He warned them, beware. Keep an eye open. They're out there. And what really got me on this, every 2 years, the Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research sends out a survey. And some of these statistics are awful. Now, I'm going to give you some of them, and then we'll go on and cover some other things that have crept into churches today. 53% of U.S. adults, 26% who claim to be I've had trouble with that word, evangelical. That's the word. I'll get it right. Says the Bible is not literally true, but is an embellishment of stories and folklore. A fourth of all evangelicals that were surveyed believe that. What's the danger there? Lots of dangers. But if it's all not hard written in stone, I can like what I like and I don't have to worry about the rest.
Anything
will
go.
Anything will go. Yeah, I get it to suit my life instead of my life molding to it. But a fourth, a little over a fourth of all evangelicals. The one that bothered me the most, 56% of evangelicals believe that Jesus is not the only way to God. Over half. Islam.
How are they calling themselves evangelicals?
Well, a lot of them are different denominations than us, family.
Yeah, yeah. This is a general, but Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, doesn't matter how you get there as long as you're sincere. 56%.
Whether we believe it or not, we're kind of in a cocoon.
Yes, we are, Roger. Yes, we are.
You know, things are changing pretty rapidly, but for especially people my age, we grew up where this really meant something. I remember my dad, somebody was talking to my dad. My dad was kind of a quiet man, but they were talking about something in Scripture, and the person said, "Well, I don't know if I really believe that or not." And my dad had the Bible, and he just closed it. He says, "Well, then you ought to go put your Bible on the shelf. If you don't believe what's in it, if you want to pick and choose what you believe, then you don't believe the book."
You're right.
The
definition of evangelical is they focus on the good news and salvation brought to sinners by Jesus Christ.
I know.
They're confused right at the start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's big time confused. That's what Paul warned Romans about. These false teachings that would be out there that would creep in if you weren't careful.
And yeah. Some surveys are done and questions that are leading.
Yeah.
They'll have a phrase in it where it can lead to them making that survey mm-hmm. the way they're going to say.
But now this survey was started in 2014 every 2 years, and pretty much every 2 years you see it growing. The lack of knowledge of the Scripture.
People are they leading astray?
Yeah, a lot of these people are pastoring churches. Yeah. Okay.
While we're on the subject, I was told one time, it's really how you interpret the Bible. That's what mm-hmm. a friend of mine said. And I said, no, if we don't agree, then either you're wrong or I'm wrong or we're both wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
We listen to a message that I don't know this, but listen to a man.
He mentioned God once. He never mentioned the blood, and he never mentioned Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was 35 minutes. Wasn't
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Garbage. Yeah, a lot of people are good with God, but not Christ.
You know, I'm very thankful for the pastor that we got.
Yes, sir.
There's so many churches now, and I'm going to say the pastors, they're up there just preaching a good, feel-good mm-hmm. message. They're not preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. And they're misleading all people.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just mm-hmm. thank God every day for a pastor.
Yeah.
We have. And Brother Bobby, too.
Yeah.
I was able to preach God's word.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes it hurts. But I just thank God for me.
Oh, yeah. There's Sundays I go out the door and shake the pastor's hand and said, my toes hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My toes hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you wonder if Paul was roaming around today, how many churches would be getting a living?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a church, speaking for us, we always have to ask the question, for any purpose or reason, would we get a letter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. If we're remotely thinking about that, well then, course correction.
For real.
Now, this wasn't the only church he sent that type of letter to.
Oh, no.
And some of the letters, he called them by name.
Yeah. This was actually a pretty soft letter when you compare it to Corinthians and places. This actually, he was pretty complimentary of Roman church.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. 73% of evangelical, I haven't said it. Say it.
Evangelical.
Thank you. I got to remember that long E, don't I? Evangelicals. Believe that 73% believe that Jesus was the first and greatest being created by God. Not that Christ was always with God. Yeah. They believe God created, the first thing He created was Jesus. I seen in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It's what I remember reading. The Word was God. 43% of evangelicals, got it, believe that Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. Isn't that scary?
That's very popular now.
Yeah. 60% believe that the Holy Spirit is a force, but not a personal being. He's not one of the Godhead.
Force?
Yeah.
It's hard to have a Trinity with the one on the
side. It's really hard, Roger.
It's a Star Wars fantasy. Yeah.
And then 57% of evangelicals agreed to the statement that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature.
That's a slice straight out of hell right there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. What do we believe? Man's nature is rotten to the core. We inherit it the day we're born.
Never raised children.
Yeah. That's true, Linda. They never raised children. You don't have to teach them about the cookie jar. No, you don't.
Read what Brother Lee said one time. But for the grace of God, we'd all be stealing chickens by midnight. Yeah.
It would be astounding if all of a sudden everybody in this county heard that Walmart wasn't going to get anything else. Boy, you'd see some true colors show real quick about people's nature. Yeah. Okay, I don't have percentages on these, but these are just some I jotted down that I want to run over this morning. These are things that are creeping into the churches. All good sinners go to heaven. Just like, if you're good, you're okay. Yeah.
What's their measuring stick?
Well, that's what I started to say. Good is subjective. What one person thinks of good is different from what another person thinks is good. And, you know, all through the civilization of man, there have been cultures that have made human sacrifices. They have sacrificed babies. And they thought it was good. They considered it good. That's the danger of getting out of the Word, is that we get in our own heads and we have our own ideas of good. And everybody's ideas is different. I guess that's the reason I never would let my kids never said it's not fair. I wouldn't let them.
Amen.
It's not fair. Because fair is subjective. It's people's definitions of fair is different, and people's definitions of good is different. The Bible says that we will get to the time that people will call good evil and evil good,
right.
And we're there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The very writer of this book thought what he was doing, the first part of this was good. He was stepping out this evil thing called Christianity. It was causing an uproar in the Jewish community.
Yeah. The next one, running the church using secular methods. And this is my soapbox for the week, because it's happened to me so many times. I guess the fact that I'm the clerk for the association and my name and email address is out there, I get so many, first of all, I get letters from ministers sending me their resume. I get those emails all the time and phone calls. But what worries me more is I get so many phone calls from church members. And I had one this week, a gentleman called me, and he said, Brother Michael, I'm the so-and-so church, and our pastor of 30-some-odd years has left us, and we need a list of all the available preachers in your association. And I said, okay, why? He said, well, he was serious. I mean, I wasn't ugly to him, although it was tempting. I was trying to help the man. He said, well, me and the pulpit committee, we want to get a list, and we want to go through it and compare resumes, and then we'll narrow it down, and we'll present a list to the church and let them interview. And I said, you mean save you a whole lot of trouble? He said, yes, sir, I do. I said, how about you and the pulpit committee getting serious in prayer and let God whittle that list down to one person, and then you can go see him and he'll be waiting on you more than likely.
Be led by spirit.
Went right over his head, I think. No, he did not go up. He was polite. He said, well, we have prayed. That's when I almost was ugly and said, you ain't prayed enough. But running the church by using worldly methods is what I'm trying to say. And that just stuck out because it happened to me this week. And the other problem, which is one I'll get to, and I don't mean to be self-whatever on this, but in our churches today, we see the belittling of the deacons to where the pastor pretty much handles everything. So when he goes, nobody knows what to do. Yeah. So it's kind of a combination there. And he said, well, we had one of our older deacons died last week, and I got a few greenhorns. I thought, well, there's part of the problem. You know, in a lot of churches, the way they pick deacons is they pass around a list and you
see who wants to be on it.
Yeah. And the ones with the most vote gets it. But I ain't got time to go into it, but
you basically serve about commitment.
Yeah, really do.
2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it rotates and someone else takes your spot.
Yeah, so just trying to do things the way the world does them in the church. Let me move on. Repeat after me salvation. That's a big one now. Repeat after me salvation, especially for young children. That's real popular now. Yeah.
I had a group come to the house one day when I was probably 10, 12 years old. And it was friends of mine from church, from school, but they came and sat out in the yard and we talked a while and then they did that repeat after me kind of thing. I knew, though, there was nothing to it. God didn't leave me in the dark, I guess is what I'm trying to say. That happens a lot, but I think when the Lord really deals with the person, they're going to know the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the next one, I titled it, When and Where I Want. There's a doctrine being taught now that you can come to Christ and be saved anytime you want, wherever you want it to happen.
Just got to make a decision.
Yeah, I'm sorry, folks, but it's by invitation only. No man can come unto the Father
except unless
my Father draw him. Yeah, and I've had some people argue this one with me, but you cannot get saved if you don't have that wooing in your heart, that invitation to be saved. It's got to be there. Yeah. Prosperity preaching. Boy, that one's everywhere on TV, isn't it? If you'll just come to this church, if you'll just contribute to this church, you'll have everything you want, wealth and health. And life's good. And people eat it up. But it's not reality, is it? It rains on the just and the unjust. Yeah. Bad things happen to good people. Yeah. We're not immune. We live in a fallen world like everybody else. We just have somebody's hand to hold while we walk through it, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. The next one is they want to put Christ's reign out in the future. Christ is reigning right now.
In our
heart. He's my king.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's reigning now. Yeah, over the church, over his people. Yeah. And then after the trumpet, as a church, we've taught this for years, and I still believe it. When the trumpet sounds, opportunity ends. Now, how everything shakes out after that, not sure I have a full grasp on it. Don't really matter to me personally. In a sense, I'll be gone, but you know what I mean. But the trumpet, what does it say? What is that angel going to declare when the trumpet sounds?
I'll be no more.
Well, how's there going to be any spans of time when time is no more?
And it's called the last trumpet.
Yeah. Yeah. So beliefs, you know, how things exactly shake out, I'm not sure I have a grasp on, but that one I'm convinced of. When the trumpet sounds, opportunity for every person that's breathing is over. Yeah, that'll be the end of it. Yeah. Okay, I think that's all that I had jotted down. Anybody else want to comment on something that you've caught either on the radio, on the TV, or just heard about or experienced?
Be wary of the radio.
You know, be wary of the radio, the TV, and the bookstore.
And the History Channel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The History Channel.
Yeah. But you notice who Paul said would be deceived? What word did he use?
Simple.
The simple. The ones that don't know it for themselves.
And what that means is basically harmless.
Yeah. But they don't know what the book says themselves, for themselves. They know what somebody else has told them, but they've never dug into it for themselves. Yeah.
Brother Michael, the people that get took advantage of the most, and I'm talking about in a natural thing, mm-hmm. it's the simple. You can sell them a bill of goods, and they'll buy it. And Paul's comparing this spiritually, but that's the one. I've always heard that loan sharks make millions and millions of dollars by going after the simple and the poor.
Yeah.
I remember Brother Bo talked about people he would run into. Him in Poultry Sciences could throw a chicken up on the back tailgate of his truck, dissect it, and tell you what was wrong with the whole flock. That people would take old Joe's word down at the hardware store before they would his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's
talking
at the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody with the internet.
Doctor.
Doctor. Doc, y'all hear that? Doctor Google.
There was a gentleman that Roger had graduated with in high school, and he watched the on TV these evangelists mm-hmm. and. Any of them that wanted money, which most all of them, he sent money to. And he got down to where he couldn't even buy food. And Roger helped him. And he told him, he said, turn that TV off and quit watching that garbage. And so he did. He finally got out of it. But what he was seeing was so wrong. And it got him down.
Yeah.
So Michael, down through history, great nations have been taken over because they've dumbed down the population. You know, they took away the Bible, they took away books and stuff, and then they just fed them what they wanted them to know. And that's what he was saying here, you know, they're going to be out there, they're going to be telling you all the, you know, the sky mm-hmm. is red and the water is blue, whatever, but you got to know this. This is where it comes from.
Yeah.
And if you want to take over a group of people, you take this away first thing, and it's a lot easier after that.
And that's what I was going to comment on. Think of our lives. If the measurement of a yard changed every other week, or a foot, well, this week it's this long, but now next week it's about that. What kind of mess we'd be in? How many people, just like I can, how many people know, have ever seen or used or know what a plumb line is? Back before they had levels, they'd use a piece of metal, and if they could, they'd carve it down to a point on the end and it'd be fat at the top, and they'd put it on string. And hold it up and let it barely touch the ground, and then you know what straight up and down was on that wall or whatever you was building. One of the prophets in the Old Testament said, plumb line. This is our plumb line. Not my opinion, not your opinion. This is the plumb line.
Amen.
Yeah. My opinion's worth 2 cents. You know? It really is. But this plumb line, this standard, is worth everything to us. I've said before, if you change the rules of a baseball game every inning, what a mess. But John.
The most insidious thing about these other groups that coming up with these different beliefs, they also produce their own Bibles. Mm-hmm. Everything you see that says Holy Bible on the front is not the Holy Bible. And for me, it's the King James Version of the Bible. And I know there's a lot of modern translations. Just because somebody's holding up a Bible and reading from it does not mean it's the Word of God.
Or that they're there for your best interest.
That's just it.
Yeah.
The thing is, they're not doing it because it's fun. They're not. Most of the time, it's money driven. It's the things of this world that drive them. Wherever there's money, there's going to be money to get. Trying to get some money.
True.
And
you said something right there about money. Group of us was helping the city out one time. We were going around trimming flowers and shrubbery, roses and things. And this lady got to talking about, I'm going to call it an organization that used to be in Bluffsville. They called it the church. And she and her husband went there. And she said, it started out and it seemed so spiritual. She said, the longer you were there, the more you realized things weren't right. And she said, our main job in the church was we kept the grounds. We kept the flowers, we kept the shrubbery trim. And she said, we were a young couple, and we had about a 6 or 8 year old Chevy S10 pickup. And that's what we used to. She said, it looked bad, it wasn't beat up, wasn't rusty, it was just a truck. You know? And she said, the pastor of that church organization came to her one time and said, y'all are representing the church when you're out doing this, and we think you need a nicer looking vehicle. She said, we weren't getting paid at all. We were doing it politics. But because they were representing the church, they really needed a nicer looking vehicle to do it. And she said, then I realized we're on the wrong track here, you know. Yeah.
So in closing this, I just want to say, Paul beseeched this church, and he's beseeching us. Keep your eyes open. Especially for your children and grandchildren. Who knows what they're going to hear? Question them now and then. When they make a comment, ask them. Yeah, keep a guard for those guys too. And don't tell them what all they're going to hear. Yeah. Anyone else?
And they ask for people's money, and they ask for their savings, and they ask for their retirement, and those people that walked away with nothing. And the preacher.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yes. I just want to say thank you to everyone for your prayers on behalf of our rehab and for being so welcoming to me to be a part of your family. Thank you.
God bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Yes.
Yes.
Anyone else? Okay, then. Appreciate your help, and we will be in the Beatitudes next Sunday.
Thank you, Brother Mike.